ministry. And we are blessed today to have Brother Marty Blackwater with us. I can't say he's our favorite because we have so many friends that he would probably go and tell them and get us in trouble. But, man, we sure have a great array of favorites around here. And I always say this, if I lived within an hour of Faith Church, I would come to this church just for the guest ministers. I mean, Amy and I are worth tolerating just for all the wonderful guest ministers that God brings through every year. And, man, the anointing that's on Brother Marty and Lola and his two daughters is just special. And I love men of God of great character. A charismatic person that lacks character just leads people on a path of destruction. But a man of character, come on, is able to lead people in paths of righteousness. So open your heart up this morning as we're led in the Word and in the Spirit and in a path of righteousness. You come to the right place today. Amen? Hope you came hungry. You're getting ready to get filled.
Thank you, Pastor Jay. Thank you, honey. Man, isn't that great worship? Didn't y'all enjoy the worship this morning? Am I on? How many would rather be here than in jail? Amen. Praise God. All right. I asked that question one time. I said, how many of you would rather be here than in jail? This woman jumped up on the front row. She started dancing. I said, what in the world? She said, I just got out of jail. I said, well, praise God. Amen. Christy. I think we're good. Y'all can hear me all right, can't you? Okay, y'all, this is a responsive church, right? Somebody shout amen. Hey, listen, we love your pastors. We've been here several times through the years, many times actually, but I do see new faces, so if I've never had the opportunity to meet you, I'd love to be able to speak to you, shake your hand. I'm not one of those guys that hide out in the back, you know, to protect the anointing. I don't mind speaking and intermingling with people, all right? So we've got a table out there. I used to call it a book table, but there's no books. We do have CDs, and some of you still have CD players in your car. I know the new ones don't, but some of you still do. If you don't do CDs, we've got digital downloads here. You can take one of these bookmarks. They're free. It's got our website information, and put it in your Bible, your book that you're reading. Pray for us when you see it and think about it. I'd appreciate it. And then also you can take a look at the website. This CD is called Things to Keep. You know, I give you five things that the Bible says that the believers should keep. I won't tell you what they are so that you can kind of get it and find out for yourself. But who would like to have this CD? Five Things to Keep. Anybody? All right, here on the back, come get it. I'm going to set it right there. And then we've got, this one is called, this is a CD called What's Love Got to Do with It? Everything. You got that. So I just talked to you about some good principles of walking in the love of God and how to implement it in your relationships and so forth. Anybody care for this CD? All right, right back here on the back. Pass it back for me, will you? Thank you. And then we got some great music, man. I got some of the old school stuff. I say I got some stuff for the young people to laugh at and the old ones to enjoy. But it's kind of retro, you know what I mean? But this one's called In His Presence. It's, you know, no particular melodies. I was a piano major in college, so I sat down, played out of my spirit piano strings for about 45 minutes. I played in my truck all the time, praying the Holy Ghost with it. It's great for your home, produces a wonderful atmosphere. Do y'all have that here? Okay. Anybody want this CD right over here? All the women have raised their hand. All right, so fellas. All right. You guys sure are quiet. Listen, happy to be here with you. Appreciate it once again, the opportunity. I want to talk to you this morning. I guess if I had to entitle our message to you, it would be entitled, Stay on the Winning Side. Stay on the Winning Side. You know, as I seek God, I'm an itinerant exclusively. I don't pastor a church, but I worked in churches 17 years on staff, various churches, and so I understand how the local church operates. But I travel exclusively, so, you know, as I begin to seek God for the places and churches that I'll be ministering in, God will place words in my spirit that I'm to carry. I don't go and listen to what everybody else is preaching, the significant voices, and kind of chime in. I try to hear what God's saying to me, to the places I'm going to go, and to deliver that. Now, interestingly enough, most often people are speaking the same thing because God wants to emphasize certain truths at certain times. So we're going to minister to you along these lines this morning. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, you'll remember God speaking to the prophet Jeremiah. He said, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So the reality is, before Jeremiah was ever formed in his mother's womb, before she ever gave him a name, the Bible says God knew him. God had a plan and a purpose and a divine intention for his life and existence. The same reality holds true. We sang about that in one of these songs. The same reality holds true for you and I, that before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, before she ever gave you a name, God knew you, God knew me. He had a plan, he had a purpose for your life and existence. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11, now we understand the context of the scripture. You've heard this verse many times. You'll remember that Israel is in Babylonian captivity. It appears by all natural aspects that their hopes and dreams as a nation would never come into fruition. And it was in this place that God spoke to them and he said, listen, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future, or a future and a hope. Amen? One translation says, I alone know my purpose for you, says the Lord. It's your welfare that I have in mind, not your undoing. For you, I have a destiny and a hope. And of course, my favorite is in the Message Bible. And God said, look, I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you. Plans to give you the future that you're hoping for. So, you know, these are powerful scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, notice the Apostle Paul, he is kind of summarizing these scriptures that we've read in a New Testament setting. And he said, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Now, I want you to notice, which God ordained or prepared when? Beforehand, that we should walk in them. The Amplified Bible says, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So from all of these scriptures, friends, we can readily see you're not here by accident. Our lives as a Christian are not to be aimless. There is a plan, there is a path, there's a divine purpose and intention, and according to these scriptures, they've been planned beforehand, right? And they're good paths. They're good plans, they're good purposes. I was 18 years old. As a Southern Baptist boy, I was 18. I'd been born again when I was 7. And I went to, this was the day of the charismatic renewal, I went to a Catholic Bible study, bunch of Catholics gathered in a home. They've been born again, baptized with the Spirit. I went there as a Baptist boy. This man had ministered, you know, from Oral Roberts University that night. He'd come to host the Bible study. And I was hungry. And I said, you know, I would like to receive the baptism. So I went up. They laid hands on me. I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And simultaneously, this guy had a vision. And he spoke it out loud. Later, I wrote it on a 3x5 card, 18 years old, went home and put it in a safe place. I've still got it. But on this in this vision, he said, I see a globe. And he said, on this globe are red lights, he said, or dots, and they represent an association of some sort. He said, I see you. You'll travel from place to place, church to church, nation to nation, in association with this organization, and talk to us about our ministry that would occur. I'm 18 years old. I went home and wrote it down. I see a globe. On these globes are red lights or dots. Da, da, da. I wrote it all down. 12 years later, man, I end up at Rhema Bible Training Center. Well, they were building the new church auditorium. Through a series of events, you know, following the path and the plan, I ended up there. In all of my ways, acknowledging God so he would direct my paths. I don't make my own decisions in life without the counsel and the input of the Holy Spirit. So I end up there. They've built this new auditorium. We're going over. I was a student there. We're going over to dedicate the building that morning. The orchestra comes out of the pit. They're playing. And all of a sudden, man, I had no idea this was even being constructed. But all of a sudden, out of the ceiling comes this huge globe with red lights all over it that are designating the churches, ministries, Bible schools around the world that are in the association of Rhema or Rhema Ministerial Association. Well, friends, through the last, 30 years, I've gone to those churches, gone to those nations. What am I saying to you? There's a plan. We're not aimless. There is a plan. And so even as a young person, you need to recognize God has a plan. He's got it all planned out. He said, look, I know what I'm doing. I've got it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, right? Not to abandon you. But what we have to do is listen for that plan and seek that plan. So they're good in intention. And so, we can say with all confidence this morning as an adult, as a young person, as a church, that our best days are not behind us, friends. They're ahead of us. And the best is yet to come. You say, Brother Marty, how can you say that with any sense of confidence? I say it based upon the authority of the Scripture. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 18 says, the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn. What does it do? It shines brighter and brighter until it reaches its full strength and glory in the perfect day. So your path and mine as a church corporately, as a believer personally, we can have an expectation that our path is going to be going brighter and brighter. Can you say amen? So this is what we know this morning. If you and I will follow God closely in life, if we will listen for His counsel, if we will seek His wisdom, and if we will implement His plan, then all will go well with us. That doesn't mean there won't be resistance to the plan. That doesn't mean there won't be strategies of the enemy throughout our journey to subvert the plan. But our declaration is, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. We will come to our expected end. But now one thing I want to emphasize this morning, and I know that you're well taught here. Your pastor teaches you the principles of faith, and I know you're men and women of faith. But one thing to remind ourselves of this morning is that all along our journey in life, this predetermined plan and path, it is essential that we stay in what I call and we call agreement with God. Agreement with God. Not only in agreement with His Word, His promises, the things that He's declared over us as His sons and daughters, but friends, we've also got to stay in agreement with God concerning the plan that we just read about. Concerning His paths, concerning His divine intentions, the things that you've laid hold of with your faith, the things that He has placed on the inside of you, personally, corporately, to achieve, to become, to do. And you must be determined to move forward in life and never give up. Everybody say, never give up. And one of the ways that you and I can stay in agreement with God is with our mouths. With our mouths. Now, you've heard these truths. When I say our mouths, I mean our words. Now, why? Because we understand words impact not only the seen but the unseen realm. But you know more than anything else, they also impact my words and yours, impact our own minds. Our own hearts, our own will, our own self-determination in life. And so believing the right things about yourself, about God's plan for you, about your destiny personally and corporately, and declaring the right things are both essential in bringing those things into fruition and into reality. Now, maybe you're here this morning and you just heard me say, hey, man, your best days are not behind you. They are ahead of you. And you know, you're sitting here and maybe the years have passed. Maybe you want to believe what I told you. You want to look forward to the future with a sense of expectation and anticipation. But maybe you've got this underlying sense of disappointment this morning because of past or present circumstances. Maybe there's this underlying lack of confidence that things could ever actually improve in your life or situation. Maybe you've had some dreams in your heart for a long time or some goals that you've yet to see realized. Maybe, you know, you've had some prayers that you've offered that have not yet been answered or some significant needs that you haven't seen met. Can I encourage you this morning? I'm here by divine appointment. May I encourage you with the Word of God and by the Spirit of God? Hold fast. Stand strong. Refuse to give up. And I'll tell you why. Because I believe there are some things that have been what I call the womb of faith. You understand the womb is where development occurs in a woman when that child is conceived. There's some things that have been in the womb of faith for a long time. And I believe delivery time is drawing near, but we've got to stay steady, stay strong, refuse to give up, keep moving forward, and do what? Stay in agreement with God. Everybody say, stay in agreement. Now, in Mark 11:23, the Bible says, and you know this, you've probably heard it hundreds and hundreds of times in this church, Jesus is speaking. These are in red letters. They're not my words. They're not your pastors or your fellow Christians. These are Jesus' words, and Jesus said this in Mark 11:23. Assuredly, I say unto you, whoever says to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes the things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Now, that's an amazing passage of Scripture. It's one that I don't think many Christians actually believe. Because if they did believe it, they'd be paying a lot closer attention to what's coming out the mouth, right? But Jesus said, what a man or a woman will believe in their heart and declare with their mouth has the absolute potential to become reality. Woo! That's powerful. Now, in the laws of faith, we call this the command of faith. Now, you know what the command of faith is, just by definition. The command of faith is the releasing of supernatural power, right, through the spoken word, with the expectation of changing, altering, or removing, if necessary, the mountain, the circumstance, the situation that's confronting us. That's what we call the command of faith. But what I want to emphasize this morning is not the command of faith as an event where you're speaking to a mountain per se. I want to emphasize this principle of believing in the heart and declaring with the mouth as a lifestyle, in the sense of this is the way that we stay in agreement with God. Okay? Now, we all understand we're spirit beings, are we not? We're not natural beings exclusively. We are spirit beings who live currently in a physiological body. One day that body will be redeemed and transformed into an immortal body. But we're spirit beings created in the image of God. And so because we're spirit beings, our words are of a spiritual nature and origin. And they carry tremendous impact in both the seen and the unseen realms. So, once again, our words. In Hebrews 11:3, you know the scripture. I think your pastor, and I'm sure people have been ministering along these lines. It seems to be something the Holy Ghost is emphasizing. But in Hebrews 11:3, the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible, right? So what does that tell us? Everything that you and I see in this physical, natural, tangible world was created by, and it is sustained by, an unseen, intangible realm or world. 2 Corinthians 4:18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are what? Temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Right? I don't know what that was. Eternal. Amen. So, what do we conclude with these two scriptures? The natural, listen, the natural is subject to the spiritual. The temporal is subject to the eternal, because the spiritual and the eternal were first. So our words, being of a spiritual nature and origin, carry tremendous impact once again in this natural physical realm and the unseen intangible realm as well. How many of you know your words are carriers? They carry substance, just like this bottle, man, is carrying the substance of water. Every time you speak and I speak, our words are carrying substance. Now, they can carry life, joy, peace, confidence, victory, positivism, creativity, ability, or they can carry defeat, discouragement, despair, hopelessness, negativity, right? In fact, Proverbs 18 and 21, notice what the Bible says. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it will eat its fruit. Now, you want to really bring it home? Watch the Message version of this verse. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or they're fruit. Woo! You choose. Oh, I wonder if what I say is really important. Boy, is it. Right? I don't think most Christians really understand this reality, that our words dominate our lives. Most often, I said most often, a person will never rise above the level of their confession in life. Most often a person will rise or fall to the level of their confession. You know why? Because not only are those words impacting the seen and unseen realm, but once again, and equally important, they're impacting my own mind, my heart, my will, my determination in life. Right? So people say, oh, come on, man, is this scriptural? Absolutely it is. Do we see this in the Bible? Yes, we do. Now, let me give you a little synopsis before we look at this scripture. But you'll remember in Numbers, chapter 13 specifically, but we'll look in a moment. But let me give you an overview. The children of Israel have been delivered from Egyptian bondage. They're moving forward in the plan that God has, right? It's time to go into the land that He's promised and prepared. They're standing on this side of Jordan, the east side of Jordan, and they're ready to cross over into the promised land. So Moses, in preparation to take that land, sends out a delegation of 12 spies, one spy from each of the 12 tribes, to, you know, kind of secure a strategy whereby they can possess the land. How many of you know that all plans require strategy? They don't just happen. There are steps there that must be implemented, right? Things that are to be done. So he's going to get a strategy. And then they go in there. They're 40 days in there, man, and they're surveying the land. And then they come back with the report. And here it is. Numbers 13, beginning in verse 26, now they departed and they came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they said and told him and said, look, we went to the land where you sent us. And truly, It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Now stop right there. So they go in, they say, hey man, it's everything God promised. Here's the fruit. It's awesome. I've got the vision. We have a glimpse. Maybe there's a goal, a dream, a desire, something that God has placed in your heart or His Word has promised. And man, you get a hold of it. Woo, it's awesome. Thank you, Lord. But then comes the receiving part, the implementing part, the possessing part. And they made a terrible mistake. Notice verse 28, nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified, very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains. The Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. And they began to articulate with all clarity all the reasons why. What God promised, planned, provided, and told them to possess was impossible. Well, the people, the land, the giants, we can do that in life. Oh man, we get something on the inside of us and we know God put it there or His Word promised it, and man, we lay hold of it. But the time passes. And the impossible situations that seem impossible arise. And then we begin to articulate all the reasons why what God has planned, purposed, and promised cannot come into fruition. Woo! Verse 30. Then Caleb, thank God for Caleb, quieted the people before Moses and said, hey man, let's go up at once and take possession. We are well able to overcome it. But the men who'd gone up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people. They're stronger than we. They gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they'd spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. All the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. We saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, come from the giants. And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in theirs. Can I tell you something? Young, old, in between, there are going to be two clubs you can join in life. There's going to be a we can club and a we can't club. And every single one of us sitting in this building have to decide for ourselves, what club am I going to join? What mentality am I going to entertain? Am I going to be a part of the we can club or the we can't club? And whichever club I join is going to have the greatest impact. Notice, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. How we see ourselves. What we say to ourselves. About ourselves. Are you listening? About our abilities. About God's ability in us. About our present situation, about our future potential, what we say can have tremendous impact on how things turn out. Amen. Now notice, Numbers 14 and 2, and all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron. Stop right there. Now, isn't it interesting how the negativity and the unbelief of a few can impact the confidence and the faith of many? 10 people came back and said, well, it looks awesome, but it'll never happen. And then 2 million people picked up on it, right? And they start murmuring and complaining. Negativity has a way of infiltrating and spreading. That's why we've got to be very careful in life who we allow to speak into our ears. You got to be very discerning. Not only natural people speaking into our ears, but what? Supernatural entities as well. Because, man, they'll just speak. tell you all the reasons why you can't do what God put on the inside of you to do or to become what God said He made you. Amen. We got to be very careful. And we have to be careful what we speak into the ears of others. So all of them start murmuring and complaining. And notice the whole congregation said to them, "If only we died in the land of Egypt. If only we died in this wilderness." Come on, man. Are you kidding me? Is this really on the table for discussion right now? God brought you out of 400 years of slavery with signs, wonders, and miracles. He opened up a Red Sea. You walked through the thing on dry ground. He swallowed your enemies behind you. He has fed you with quail from heaven, or quail from the sky, manna from heaven, water from a rock. Led you with a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And now you're standing at the threshold of what He's promised. And you say, "We can't do it." Would to God we died in the wilderness. Would to God we died in Egypt. And you know the pitiful thing is, friends, listen. Every single one of them from that generation, 20 years old and older, got exactly what they said. Every one of them died in the wilderness. I wonder if my words are significant. Absolutely. It's important. Right? They talked themselves out of what God said. "I can do it. You can do it." So you can read the story, man. God got hot about it. Thank God we're in a new covenant. Because He said, "Moses, you, Aaron, Joshua, Caleb, your families, Aaron, Hur, step aside here. Come on over here. I'm about to make burnt toast of every one of these guys." He meant it. Moses got in between him and said, "Now, Lord, 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 come on now. These are your people. You delivered them. Let's be merciful." He said, "All right. But now they're going to get what they said." And they did. So the reality is their declaration, right? Their reaction, their declaration directed the entire outcome of that situation as far as they were concerned. But guess what? Two individuals. Two. Joshua and Caleb. They what? They stayed on the winning side. Right? And they said, "Hey, I don't care how impossible it seems. I don't care what kind of obstacles there are. I don't care who said we can't do it. If God said we can do it, we can do it. If God planned, promised, or purposed it, we can possess it, and we will." Man, that's the attitude. Woo! Glory to God. Can I encourage you this morning personally? And corporately by the Word, but also by the Holy Spirit's bidding, stay on the winning side. Personally in your life, stay on the winning side. As a church, stay on the winning side. Let your declaration be, "Yes, we can." Regarding God's promises, yes, we can. Regarding His plans and purposes, yes, we can. Whatever He may instruct you to do, whatever goal or dream He may place on the inside of you to achieve, amen? Just whatever lands, we can use that figuratively, that He's telling you to possess, just say personally and corporately, "Yes, we can. Yes, we will." Because why? Because when God gives direction, when He places a dream in a heart, when He sets forth a purpose to fulfill, He always makes available to us the wisdom, the ability, the resources, the grace to bring those things into fruition if we will seek Him, listen to Him, and follow Him, and believe Him for them. Amen. So, I love Caleb. Don't you love Caleb's testimony? Joshua chapter 14, verse 7 through 12. You guys listen so well, but listen. This is Caleb's testimony. The guy's 85 years old now. Now listen to what he said, verse 7. He said, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people to melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where you go, your foot has trodden, shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you've wholly followed the Lord your God. Woo! And now, behold, the Lord's kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Ever since the Lord spoke this word to me while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am, 85 years old, and I'm as strong today as the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both going out and coming in. And basically in verse 12, he said, now therefore, give me this mountain. Don't you love this guy's attitude? His we can mentality? He's 85, 45 years. He's waited for all the we can'ts to die off. And his faith and determination has sustained him. And here he is now, 85 years old. I tell people, listen, don't ever count yourself out just because you think you got a few years on you. As long as you're breathing on this planet and you're in a physiological body, I don't care how old you are, God has a plan. God has a purpose. He has lives for you to influence and touch and something to be a part of. Amen. It's not time to sit down at 80 and retire, man. Amen. Let's just keep busy. Even if you're retired from the natural job, there's still things for the kingdom that can be done. Ooh, hallelujah. There were only two individuals in their family that crossed over Jordan and went into the promised land. Joshua and Caleb. What made the difference? Their attitude and their declaration. And their attitude and their declaration was formulated based upon their faith in God, right? And his ability to do what he said he could do, and his ability to enable them to do what he told them to do. Amen. Never talk failure. Never talk defeat. Let's don't admit for a moment that God isn't big enough to bring us into the fullness of all that he's planned, purposed, and provided. Amen. Let's talk about how big he is. Let's talk about the fact nothing's impossible to him who believes. All things are possible with him. Amen. Let's stay on the winning side. And if we'll do that, we'll go places other people will never go. You'll do things other people will never do. Christianity's called the Great Confession. There's something extremely important about the words we speak. I heard my spiritual father, Kenneth Hagin, say it many times. He said, most people are defeated in life because they believe the wrong things and they say the wrong things. Their words are holding them in bondage. Now, why would that occur? Because you're impacting your mind, your heart, your will, your determination in life. He said their words hold them imprisoned in a place far below God's divine intention for them. Right? So, we want to be careful. Now, in closing this morning, I want to read you a passage in Romans chapter 4, verses 17 through 21. You know these passages of Scripture, but I want to bring them in relation to what we're talking about this morning, how the God kind of faith operates in relation to walking out the plans of God, staying steady, refusing to give up things that maybe have been in the womb of faith for a while, okay? Think about that as we read it. As it is written, I've made you a father of many nations. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead, calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And being not weak in faith, he does not consider his own body already dead. since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was also able to perform. I'm trying to graduate from the old King James to the new, so I'm used to quoting in the old, so I have to kind of peek up every now and then. But now notice this. Here's a man named Abram. Genesis 12, we won't turn there, but I'll tell you the story. He's 75 years old. God comes to him and said, "Hey, I got a plan." "Really?" "Yeah. I'm going to make of you a great nation. I'm going to make your descendants as the stars of the sky and the sand of the seashore in number. All the nations of the earth will be blessed through you." Woo! Amen. It's going to be awesome. And he said, "Today, Abram, you're 75, I'm going to change your name, man, to Abraham, meaning a father of many nations. Have I made you?" Now, is "have I made you" past, perfect, or future tense? Past, present, or future tense? Past. It's both past and present reality, right? So God said, "This is the plan. This is the predetermined path I prepared beforehand," right? "I have made you a father of many nations. Now I want you to take off." So he left his father's house, 75. 24 years pass. No son of promise. But God said to him, "Listen, I've made you a father of many nations." Now, friends, sometimes it's difficult for you and I to understand the realm in which God exists. God exists in the realm of eternity, which is past, present, and future simultaneously. He is outside our particular scope and sphere of time and space. So sometimes what is a future event to us is a present reality to God. It's like this. Let's say there's an ant crawling across his platform. Now, I am outside of his particular sphere of time and space. He really can't discern my existence because I'm so huge. You know what I'm saying? In comparison. So here I am standing, and I can see this ant. I can see where he's been. I can see where he is. I can see where he's going. All at the same time. One sphere of vision. That's God's perspective. So I could come out here, unbeknownst to him in his particular perception, and I could put a piece of fruit in his path. And I could say, "Mr. Ant," if I could communicate, "I have given you a piece of fruit." Now, from his perspective, he's back here on the path. He doesn't see it. He's not eating it. He's not enjoying it. But on my end, it's an accomplished reality. I've already done it. Right? Are you listening? What he has to do is believe what I told him. Keep moving forward. Listen to me. Refuse to give up. Why? Because I have given you a piece of fruit. And that's the way our lives are. Our churches, our ministries, our businesses, the things that God has prearranged and made ready. He said, "Look, I've given you the piece of fruit. It's on the path. It's on the plan. I need you to believe me, to stay in agreement with me, to keep moving forward, to refuse to give up. And if you will, you'll intersect what I have already made a reality in this natural, tangible world. It's a supernatural reality, but it will manifest in the natural. It's on the path. Are you listening?" Ooh, hallelujah. What am I saying to you this morning? I believe this is where some folks are standing. You're on the threshold of a miracle. Your due season is approaching. The things that you believe God for, you know God has spoken to your heart is right in front of you. Don't give up. Amen? Let your words affirm His faithfulness. I've been in some tough places in life, friends, honestly. I knew God had a plan. I know there's a plan. And sometimes it looked like it would never happen. And the things that we'd asked for or seen in our spirit were impossibilities. And yet, what do? You stay the course. I know you said it. I know you put it in my spirit. And I'm cooperating to the best of my ability. And I know it'll come to pass. And they have. And they are. Amen. And so they will for you as well. Hallelujah. Let's let our faith be in the same expression of Abraham. He believed God. He believed God's word. He embraced it, what? As a present reality. He refused to consider all the negative, contradicting circumstances that told him every reason why it could never happen after 24 years. And he continually gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, man, he was able to perform it. And guess what? As a result, it came to pass. I'm closing. How many of you give me 5 minutes? Somebody give me 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, praise God. Let's stay in agreement with God. Everybody say, stay in agreement. Let's stay on the winning side. Let's boldly declare, man, if God has spoken it, if His word has promised it, if He's put it on the inside of my heart to accomplish or to achieve, then I can do it. We can do it. It will come to pass. Our declaration is, yes, we can. Yes, we will. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Listen, you know, I get a lot of what we would call psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs from the Lord through the years. And as I was seeking Him earlier in the year, I think actually it was in a service, man, I got a psalm. And it's just stuck with me because I think God wants me to carry it, you know. So I want to share it with you because it's really a word of prophecy, but it's for you this morning. The word of the Lord came to me saying, but it's for you as well. He said, listen, now is not the time to let go of the things that you've asked me for, to draw back, to relinquish your position of confidence, right? To abandon that which I've placed in your heart to accomplish or to do. But now is the time, saith God. Stand strong in your faith. Refuse to let go. Stay in agreement with me, saith God, and declare it so. It will all come to pass. Yes, Lord. We can. Yes, Lord, we will. Everything that you've promised, purposed, planned, and provided, it will be accomplished and it will be fulfilled. That's the attitude, friends. I was reading an article, you know, I'm on planes a lot, so I have time to read. And man, there was this word that came from, I don't even know the guy, JoJo Dawson, but he said the Lord gave him a word, you know, for this year. And, you know, you don't take everything that comes down the pike, but, man, this had a resonated with my spirit. I want to read it to you, and if it's for you, just say, I'll take that. But he said, you know, and I'll just paraphrase. He said, the Lord said to him in a time of prayer, I'm about to open doors for so many people. Tell them to be ready. Not just one door, but many doors. But we have to make sure that our hearts and our minds are ready to receive these doors and that we're ready to walk through them when they open. We must be prepared with the right mindset, spiritually strong to walk through these doors. We must have our emotions aligned and our spirits ready for the doors that God is opening. Listen now, God is going to make a way where there seems to be no way. He's going to open up doors in such a grand fashion that you're going to be able to run through those doors at full speed. Now listen, and when you enter those doors, you will reflect back on the previous seasons and you'll understand why you were in those seasons so long. Sometimes, friends, God is working things in us in making preparation for the fulfillment of all that he wants to do. And he said, so Your old way of thinking won't be able to handle these new doors. Your old way of doing things won't be able to handle these new doors. Some of the old associations don't allow anyone, any mindset, any old habit keep you from stepping into the doors that God is going to open. You have faithfully been walking with the Lord through the challenging times and through the great times, but they've all been leading up to this season. You're about to run full speed ahead into your destiny. Somebody say, I'll take that. Amen. I said, I'll take it. Woo, hallelujah. You know, God is in the supernatural business, right? And you know, because the time is short and Jesus is coming, things are going to have to happen at an accelerated speed. And I do believe there's going to be a divine compression of sorts where the visions and the plans and the purposes of God are going to be done in quicker, shorter increments of time. Jesus turned water into wine. You know how long that takes in the natural? Not that I'm advocating it. But, you know, you plant the seed, you grow the vines, the fruit matures, you pick the fruit, you bottle or process it. And, you know, for just an average wine, what is it, 10 years? 5 years? 10 years? He took what would take 10 years, you know, to do in the natural, and he did it in a moment of time. Woo! Somebody say supernatural. God can do it. I've had some things in my own life that if it were left to the natural, it would have taken me years to dig my way out. And God has done it in a day. Why? Because I refuse to agree with my enemy. I refuse to agree with the negative voices in my life. Some people become addicted to the wrong voice. You have to change tracks. We'll talk about it maybe tonight. But listen, everybody stand up. I'm excited for you as a church. You know, there's a great group of people.